Is bailing out the banks the best way to spend taxpayers' cash? This is the breakfast phone-in. And also, I can tell you the Prime Minister's response to this. Let me see now. I've got it here somewhere on my my screen in front of me, right here. Right. The Prime Minister has given his response to the fresh bailout of Lloyds and RBS. He says, the banks should be paying money to the British public and not the other way around. And this is an important step in that direction. Let's speak to the business journalist and former stockbroker Max Keiser, who appeared on Breakfast earlier on this morning. Max, did you hear the Prime Minister quote, Prime Minister's quote there? Do you agree with it?
Yeah, you know, it's despicable, actually, that the UK taxpayer has to endure another embarrassing bailout of the corrupt bankers in this matter. I feel horrible for them because they have to wake up in the morning and get this news, and the malfeasance and the corruption just seems to go on in a never-ending cycle of self-serving deals amongst bankers. You know, the UK banking industry, as the US banking industry, is really at the mercy of the global hedge fund industry, and they're calling the shots. And I don't understand why the UK population doesn't get some kind of break here. At what point does the government step in and say, okay, no more Sir Fred Goodwin, Fred the Shred pilfering anymore. We want to actually do something on behalf of the population. It's like having a special needs child in the family. The UK banking system is like a special needs child that the government keeps throwing money at, but it doesn't do anything to stop the systemic corruption.
I kind of know what you're saying. Peter in Hampshire, what do you say? I mean, I think your argument. Go on.
I think that journalist was absolutely spot on. The banks are so corrupt, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you look at this...
But we have to bail them out. We had to bail them out.
I agree wholeheartedly. We haven't got any choice, because at the end of the day, if the banks all closed down, if Lloyds and RBS went bust tomorrow, how do you think 45% of the population would feel going to the cash point tomorrow morning, putting their cards in and getting no money out?
Nothing, yeah.
I mean, that is, if you look at the doomsday scenario, that is where it would end up.
Max Keiser, that's where it would end up.
Look, this notion that the banks had to be bailed out is propaganda that's put forward by the banking and the banking lobbyists. It's completely false that the government had to do what it had to do. Now, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I've done many programs in the UK. We were talking about Northern Rock specifically. They were giving away 125% mortgages. And I said on the air 3 years ago that this bank is going to go bust because their whole business model is self-imploding. It's totally corrupt. Alistair Darling first has to get up and say, before we engage in another round of accounting tricks, let's get some accountability. Let's bring these guys down to the Old Bailey and investigate them for fraud. That's job number one. Otherwise, what's the example that Darling and Brown are setting for the population in the UK, that crime pays? Because this is not just a matter of a market event that they could not foresee. That's false. Many people understood what was coming. The banks engaged in predatory lending, fraudulent practices. They leveraged their balance sheets up 30, 40, 50
this
to 1.
This climate was encouraged from somewhere. It was a climate...
No. It was completely encouraged, and it was encouraged by Mervyn King at the Bank of England, who was offering artificially low interest rates. It was encouraged by the global banking system that is engaged in currency carry trade.
Okay, let's hear from Peter again, and then we'll bring in Stephen Liverpool and Tony and Barnett and Craig in Deeside. Peter, come back on that.
The real issue and the real losses of all these banks, if you look at RBS's, the thing that brought RBS down was ABM AMRO. ABM AMRO was one of the prime lenders in the US subprime market. That is really where the catastrophic losses of RBS happened. If you look at Lloyds TSB, Halifax, which is where the real problem is, bought an American bank, I think it was called Countrywide. Yeah. Again, heavily lending into the US subprime market. That is where all our money's gone. That's where all the losses have gone. If you look at the UK market and the arrears in the current marketplace, most of the major lenders, yes, there are losses, but they're nothing like the losses we had in 1991 with people going bankrupt and mortgages going defaulting. We're at nowhere near that sort of level. So all this stuff about the UK banks lending into the UK market is what caused the problem is absolute rubbish. The real problem was the lending into the US market. Let's get this perfectly clear.
Max is going to come back on that specific point.
The caller makes an excellent point. The banks are buying into these U.S. subprime lenders, but they don't. They're not engaged in a transparent accounting, so that the losses on these acquisitions are held off the balance sheet through special purpose vehicles and what have you, and then they play accounting games. So they're still guilty of conspiring, if you will, in defrauding the shareholders and the public with all these accounting games that are played. When they make these acquisitions, they take the fees up front as a bonus because they made the acquisition. They give themselves a huge bonus and a huge fee, and they say, oh, we're brilliant businessmen. They hold the losses off the balance sheet. They don't put them on their quarterly statements. And then suddenly, all at once, they say, oh, we suddenly discovered these losses. We need a bailout. Well, okay. That's completely fraudulent activity. They are not being transparent from the beginning. Well, that needs to be addressed.
Tony
you
and
can't
Bonnet.
Just systematically and create more banks. This is like that Disney film with Mickey Mouse, and he splits the brooms into 100 different brooms, and the Sorcerer's Apprentice. what's the solution for Brown and Darling? They're going to create more of these banks. And what is a bad bank? What are they going to call a bad bank? You're going to go down the high street and you're going to say, oh, I've got to cash my check down at the bad bank? Well, they create a really bad bank.
No mentions of a Mickey Mouse banking system, please. It's just too depressing. Tony is in Barnack. Tony, go on.
Hi. Yeah, well, someone gave me a solution, a scenario to where this problem would have been solved. And I've yet to find anybody who's going to actually knock it down. You know, they've saddled us with £20,000 to £25,000 in taxes, each individual. If the government had given every taxpayer, every working person, saver, what have you, that money, you know, in effect, so you've got a loan, there's low interest, you've got to have it, and you've got to pay it back.
£25,000.
Now, you do what you like with it. But that would have kept the economy going. Because at the moment, they've saddled us with this bill, but they're not giving. We're not getting any money. We're not getting any help. So instead of us, you know, having this debt that we can't use and we can't benefit from, we would have had the money, whether you put it back into the bank, whether you pay off your mortgage, buy a car, get your house done up, whatever you, that money would have kept the economy going. It would have generated businesses, it would have kept people in work, shops, people would be shopping, people would be, you know, bearing in mind, it's all done on the national insurance numbers, so you have the money, whatever you do with it, you do with it. But over a period of time, you have to pay it back.
Max Kaiser, would that have worked?
Sadly, your caller is absolutely correct. And I'll give you an example, just because I know the figures a little bit more accurately. In the U.S., for example, back at the end of in the 2008 period, had Obama written off every credit card debt and every mortgage in America, that is to say, zero out everyone's credit card balance and paid every single mortgage in America, it would have come to about an $11 trillion expense. At the time, they said, we can't afford $11 trillion. Well, now, a year later, they have bailed out $23 trillion. They've created $23 trillion in subsidies and bailouts. So, yes, they could have very easily wiped clean every credit card debit and every mortgage balance.
And, of course, thereby they would have supported people who had been profligate and people who had been prudent. But it's exactly the same with the support for the banks, I guess, isn't it?
Your caller is absolutely correct. The government could have easily done this, and the people would now be spending money, and your employment numbers would be improving. And it's just as a decision was made to prefer the hedge funds and the banks over the people. It's as simple as that. The government is siding with an oligarchy, a cartel, which is completely what you don't want your government doing. If you elect your government to represent you, you want them to side with you. You put them in office, not to side with the oligarch.
Craig in Deeside. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Craig. Morning, Nikki. This gentleman, the journalist, Max
Kaiser.
Yeah, I don't know if he's American or Canadian, but he is the type of person that this country should be employing to run our bloody banks.
We should be paying him a massive bonus, yes.
I don't think the gentleman would take a massive bonus. to be honest, I'm starting to believe that the government does not run the finances of this country. The whole of the banking system do. We are caught by the short and curlies, literally. We have to use banks. We have no choice but use banks. 90% of the country, the working members of this country who pay taxes and that, They're forced to use banks to have their wages paid into, to pay bills, everything like that. So basically, I can't see any other way out of this apart from bailing the banks out once again, but we don't have a choice.
Stephen Liverpool, what do you want to say?
I think this is socialism for the rich, and then the only people who gain are people who have money. An example being that the big bankers or the big earners can still draw on their shares or money bonuses, but the recently nationalised bank is now making people redundant. The ordinary people who are working at on the shop floor are being told to go, and I think this is a manifestation of how the government are operating by laundering all this money, but ordinary people are paying the price. Those who have nothing have nothing to lose, but we seem to be paying the bigger price while the big bankers continue to make lots of money.
And Thomas in Glasgow. Hi, Thomas.
Yes, good morning.
Morning, on you go.
Yeah, there's nothing short. And hello, Max Kaiser. Brilliant part in the film of Fall of the Republic by Alex Jones. It was a brilliant part you played in it. The thing is, you know, what we're seeing here is the privatisation of profit and the nationalisation of debt. And it's time the public waked up to this fact that we're being absolutely shafted by the powers that be. It's not the government that runs things, it's the banks that dictate things. The word mortgage, Andrew Verity, you're the voodoo economist here. Do you know what the word mortgage means? A literal translation, what that means, the word mortgage?
He's gone home.
All right, well, the word means grip of death. But you don't hear these pseudo-economics explaining that the word mortgage actually means the grip of death. And when the bank lends money, it does so at interest. And when it does so, it grabs you by the short and cullies and charges you three times what you're borrowed out. And this is highly illegal practice, I would have to say.
Thomas.
Hold on, Nicky. I'm making controversial points. If you want to cut me off, I think it's scandalous. You know, you're part of the conspiracy as well.
Of course I am.
I'm actually fooling the people into thinking that we take part in a democratic process. Mm. No matter what government we vote in or out, it's still the banking, illegal, undemocratic banking institutions that sit at the top. They've been doing so for the last 319 years. When Prince William of Orange got to the throne and allowed the Rothschild bankers from Europe to take over the money supply, it is them that run the country, and it's them that are controlling us. And until the people wake up and democratise themselves and not be fooled by the politicians, they're part of the big game, the illusion. It's the banks that run it.
Okay.
And unless we smack them in the nose and say, it's the people's country, not yours, the banks,
right,
so we're going to be in this grip of death forever.
Thank you. Right, okay. The only conspiracy I'm in the grip of is the one from my producer saying I'm late for the travel news. But I don't know which particular sector to blame that on. Max Kaiser, I don't know if you want to comment on the Rothschilds and William of Orange, or more topically perhaps what's happening today, but before we take more calls.
Yeah, I can comment on the caller. The caller and the caller so far are absolutely correct to be angry, and their comments are very well informed, and they read the paper, and they understand quite sensibly that there's been some malfeasance here. And going back throughout history, the key concept is, and I'll also add in this possible solution here. The key concept, if you go back 200 years, if you want to, or 300 years, is the control of interest rates, or the price of money itself.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been, and the reason this crisis erupted, is that for a privileged few, the cost of borrowing funds was either zero or below zero, if you take into consideration some of the tricks that they use in the City of London.
Mm-hmm.
And that is setting up a two-tier society where some can borrow money at zero interest rates and everyone else is spending on credit cards and mortgages and paying 10, 15, 20%. And, of course, the banks are raising interest rates on credit cards to help them out, supposedly, using and charging more usurious rates. And that is your last caller is absolutely correct. That goes back a couple of hundred years to the history of banking itself. Now, here's the solution. Here's the real solution to the problems that we're talking about. If Alistair Darling and Gordon Brown want to put forward a real solution to these problems and really address what's going on here, they need to adjust what's called the margin rate. This is the rate of interest that is charged to speculators And all of these banks are engaged in speculating and outrageous speculating in one form or another. They need to raise the margin rate. It doesn't mean that the base rate that you and your listeners are experience on their savings account necessarily would change. But the margin rate, the rate that is charged for speculation, goes up. So if I want to take a wild speculation, let's say Goldman Sachs speculating that there's going to be a collapse in the housing market, the cost to put that bet into the global finance casino is raised substantially, so that I'm taking real risk. As it is now, the cost of making that bet is near zero, and then when the bet goes bad, Darling and Brown bail them out. So it's what they call in finance moral hazard, which is a very cute and quaint way of saying, you know, outright malfeasance. But if they want to, the key is interest rates. And if they want to address this problem, they have the Bank of England. It's up to the Bank of England. It's within their purview. I know that in the Federal Reserve Bank in Washington, they do have it within their mandate to adjust the margin rate. I believe Mervyn King in the Bank of England also has it in his toolbox of banking tools that he can just raise that one specific rate, the margin rate, the rate charged for speculating. If you were to make it more difficult and more expensive for these hedge funds and banks to speculate, they would do less of it. Therefore, there would be less at risk, and there would be less of a problem. The reason they don't do it is because they're in the pocket of the hedge funds in the banking industry. And Darling and Brown are in the pocket of these guys, and that is really tragic. And yes, they did give UK taxpayer a stake in these recovered banks more so than what's happened in the U.S., but they still have left open the barn door toward gross speculation in ways that only benefit a very small minority of professional hedge fund managers who trade on market manipulation, inside information, and artificially low interest rates.
Let's get the calls on that. Max, listen, thanks for your time. If you can't get enough of Max Keiser and you're a bit of a Max Keiser fan, he'll be speaking to Radio 5 Live at 8 p.m. on New Year's Eve, looking back at the year's events and making predictions for the years ahead. Max, thank you. Happy New Year.
Okay, thanks.
Mike in Hertfordshire. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
God, I'm exhausted.
I'm not surprised.